Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome, everyone. This week, we have a special edition of the Swolecast. Once one of us, he has now been elevated to the corporate ranks of boss man, so we have to play nice on the show. We will discuss last week's golf masters situation, and we'll discuss also some of the player props this week, quarterbacks, who's going first overall now. Also, wide receiver Saquon Barkley, OBJ. Lots to discuss. And so let's get to it. It's the Swolecast from RotoGrinders.com.
You gave us that from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm full of dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye. Hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
I put no research into this. Don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show. One.
You know me. I don't do a ton of research before the show.
Bro, live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
Ah, new intro. Nice.
Who did that? Was that Sosa?
We know it's not Steve. Get out of here.
Yeah. That is a very good intro.
It was very good.
Good job, Mr. Coakley, Rob Coakley, who helps us out with some of the stuff here on the Swolecast. But yeah, welcome. It's the Swolecast. You know, people ask, you know, what is the Swolecast? And the answer to that is yes. You know, we just discuss everything. NFL, golf, diet, whatever we want to discuss. So guys, let's get started first with our guest of honor. He's not Dan Gaspar, he's Dan Bach. Dan, how's it going?
You know, I all the years the Swolecast has happened, I don't think I've ever been a guest. I think this is my first ever, and I'm kind of excited to be on this iteration of the Swolecast, especially like Davis has transformed into some sort of like mountain man over here with this beard and this hair, and he's wearing a lot of flannel these days, and he's got like this chiseled jaw going, and I say chiseled because it almost looks like a PED jaw, to be honest with you. Like, I've made the comment that you look like you should be like a professional wrestler, except you're like 5'2". And that wouldn't work very well. So,
Davis, what's your max bench these days?
205.
It's not bad.
I don't know why you had to go for my worst lift. Like, I don't know why you had to do that.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
He did.
Honestly, I thought it might be getting there because, like, this is no secret. The people with the best bench press have shorter arms, so
see,
they can get
like
a barrel chest.
So I do, obviously, relative to a normal human being, I have short arms, but relative to my body size, my arms are actually a little bit longer. So my
best. Is that how you got your wife?
My best lift is deadlift of the of Olympic lifts.
All right. You getting ready for the Swolecast combine that we've got coming up?
I actually, I finished dead last in my fantasy football league with my buddy, our keeper league in our hometown.
Oh, so
I have to run the I have to run the 40 at our draft.
Oh, my God. Okay. Is this getting
you
filmed?
Finished dead last in your group? Like, it's a 12-man league?
So it's a keeper league, so we can trade future picks. What was it? Dak got injured, and CeeDee Lamb was my keeper. So I just traded away every good player I had for picks, and I have 15 picks in the first 8 rounds next year. So it was worth it to run the 40 once to have a good team next year.
Yeah, 40's not that bad, really. I mean,
honestly, that's
need to get
terrible
to make sure that this gets published to Twitter.
Running the 40 is not the issue. Yeah. It's that my 40 is going to be quite poor. It'll be very bad.
Yeah. Because you never had to really run or anything in high school,
never.
Like with athletics or anything. Yeah.
Never.
Peter, how's it going for you?
It's going good. I feel a little ambushed. This feels like a performance review, and Dan's kind of swinging by State of the Union. Exactly. You know, the checks keep clearing, but every couple of weeks, I think they're not going to clear. So, Dan, I'm going to be on my best behavior today, including eating my lunch while doing the stream.
Well, I was going to say, I was shocked that, you know, everybody showed up legitimately 5 minutes before the show. And I know at one point in time, there was an edict that said, you have to be in 15 minutes before. And I'm sitting here and I'm legitimately the only one here. And I was like, well,
I
walk to the corporate suite and they just say, forget it. We don't have to follow the rules anymore.
Part of that is StreamYard. Like, we don't have to set up the shots
excuses
and Wirecast like we used to. But the other part is like, we want to really save the best for the show. Like, Davis was talking about like doing 75 hard. Which, Dan, do you know what that is?
They should call it 75 easy.
No, I have no idea.
75 hard is just a thing that hardos do to tell everyone that they do 75 hard.
I'm not doing it because I think it's cool. I'm doing it. My sister-in-law wanted to do it to get in shape, and she just wanted to do something dramatic, and I told her I'd do it with her.
It is like the most dramatic thing. So tell everybody, Davis, about the outdoor workouts, the reading, everything you have to do as a part of this.
Got to work out twice a day. You have to choose a diet and stick to it. Got to drink a gallon of water. You got to read
post
10
pictures,
pages a day.
Take pictures.
Well, you don't have to post it. You just got to take one every day. Thank God I don't have to post it. No one wants to see that. It's really just the only thing that's different from my daily life anyway is I probably only do an outdoor workout 5 days a week normally. So doing that 7 days a week. And
such a humble
the
brag,
water,
dude. Like,
the water.
Oh, I only do it 5 days, not seven. Like,
well, an outdoor workout counts as like skateboarding or going golfing or walking your dog.
Hold on. Skateboarding counts as an outdoor workout.
I've heard that skateboarding actually is a workout. Like,
I get my heart rate up higher skateboarding than lifting.
I actually will buy the skateboarding thing. It was last year when we were doing Underdog Cardio Club and people were trying to count like walking their dogs as cardio, which I'm pro walking. I love walks, but you're not counting that as cardio.
Yeah.
I'm not counting it as cardio, but I'm counting when I take my dog for a 3 mile walk, I count that as my second outdoor workout for the day.
Would pickleball count as cardio?
No. I've seen the heart rate monitor.
I don't actually know. What does your heart rate get up to? Like your
I don't
max
know.
Heart rate?
I'll check tomorrow. We're supposed to play.
DB, do you play pickleball?
Yeah, Kitchen and I are our teammates. We play once a week, and we are
amazing.
We are doubles teammates against a couple other guys in the office.
All right,
who's better? Because didn't you win the Roto Grinders tournament league or whatever?
Yeah,
all right. I mean, that to me looks like max heart rate of like 98 beats per minute.
That's
for
not
healthy
it, though. That's not it. It can get a little spicy and a little short burst. It's like really the perfect sort of workout where at the end of the hour, you're ready. You're done.
Yeah. Yeah, one game isn't going to do it for you, but if you play like three or four, then you're feeling
That's the secret of slow, steady state cardio is that doing it for 10 minutes doesn't do anything. Doing it for an hour is going to give you really good benefits and is really low impact.
And I started watching a few matches, and I watched a mixed doubles match. And this girl had a Kitch and then the X and then like Engage. And I'm like, what? And then I find out there is a major pickleball brand called Kitch.
A major pickleball brand.
Yes.
Kitchen, you know I've long waged a war against big pickleball, but will you just admit, as a sport on television, it is an awful viewing experience?
Oh, no, I love...
You got... This is such a bad
I love the McEnroe. Dan, what do you think?
I love it. I think it's I think it's awesome. It's a good... It's something that you watch and you say to yourself, I can do that. And then you kind of get excited that there's a sport on TV that you can actually do.
That's just golf.
It's way better than golf as far as watching something. No, it is way better than golf.
Mute, David. No.
This is such a bad take. If you want to tell me you love playing pickleball, whatever. It's like I love bowling, but I'm not going to watch guys fucking bowl on TV. I mean, come on, guys.
I like soccer. I don't really like watching soccer. I would, but like, it is more entertaining as far as pickleball goes.
David is just getting all of his absolute worst takes out here in the first 10 minutes of the show.
All right. Let's, speaking of golf, let's talk to Dan, because Dan last week, he sent me a message, and the message was, I'm about to go viral. literally.
DB went more viral than the Run Pure Sports girl.
So Dan, you want to just go at like just set the table, Davis, for us, and then Dan can give the behind the scenes.
So basically, Dan does have the great ingredients for a viral tweet, right? Something everyone's watching. No one is going to watch the video or look at the content and not know what it is. Involves a relatively famous person. Obviously, Dan's tweet would have been better had it been Spieth or Brooks or Phil. But Morikawa, major champion, people knows. And also, there's quite a long tradition of this in golf. I believe Dan would maybe know better. There was a tournament decided 5 years ago. It was not Jordan Spieth. You're thinking of the Dustin Johnson US Open. But there was a tournament 4 or 5 years ago where someone called into the tournament and said they noticed on the broadcast a rules violation, and the guy got penalized or maybe even disqualified at the end. And DB, just sitting at home on his couch, 9 screens up, watching the Masters, realized that he thought he was about to become the next disqualifier of someone at a major championship.
Okay, let me add a little context here. First off, that wasn't my intention, because I have like 20,000 followers, and God knows how many of them are bots.
You're just a fan of the game.
Yeah, and I'm watching this, and the announcers are like, "Oh, this doesn't look right. I'm sitting next to two pros, and both of them don't understand what's going on." And basically, I was like, "You know, I think Colin Morikawa cheated right here on this video, right here. See, the mark is there. He puts the mark up, and then marks the golf ball. That would, in theory, be against the rules." Now, where I really screwed up is I only showed the small part.
You didn't say and it. You fake newsed it.
The worst thing is I called him a cheater. And it's like everything I despise about like Twitter trolls, I was. And immediately, Big Cat from Barstool gives it a retweet. The No Laying Up guys give it a retweet. And next thing I know, it is everywhere. And the worst thing about it is, literally 5 minutes after I tweet this, my wife walks downstairs and shows me her phone and says, I just had this client send me this screenshot and wondered if this is you, if you know this guy, because he's got the same last name and lives in Nashville. And at that moment, I was like, oh, my God, this is out of control. So I sat there for the next 2 hours getting absolutely called a narc, a nerd.
Clout chaser was the one that I liked.
I'm still trying to spot the lie.
It was awful. It was awful. But I'm sitting here seeing this, and it's like, okay, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000. It got to like 2 million views of that tweet in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I'm like, my God, this is out of control.
Did Morikawa address your tweet?
Yeah.
No,
yes.
I know he addressed the incident, but did he say this guy, Dan Bach, you know, trying to ruin my good name?
No, he basically came out and said that, hey, I want to win that PIP money. Go ahead and call me out all you want. Which is, of course, like the bonus that they get if they're famous on social media. So he played it off as like the way that he should. But
so what happened? He basically was moving his ball mark so that it didn't interfere with someone else's line. Is that correct?
And then he moved it back.
No, they're saying that the ball moved when he addressed it, and he just threw that mark down in the vicinity, and then marked the ball where it should have been, where it moved from. So. Sure. Right here, you can see him, you know, address the ball. He takes a step back. He looks at his playing partners and said, hey, the ball moved. And they said, ah, no problem. Move it back. Totally legal. But it was really odd that he would randomly throw this ball mark like a couple inches behind where the ball
that
was.
That is weird. That would not be how I would do it.
So long story short, it went ridiculously viral. And I was at the crossroads of, do I leave something up that's got like millions of views?
Absolutely.
You know, isn't this is good for the brand, right?
Tell me you didn't delete it, DB.
Oh, he did.
Look, he deleted it.
Oh,
I definitely deleted it.
Okay, all right. I know we all had to do compliance training a month ago for Motor Grinders. We need to get Dan into social media training. This is
no. Yeah, and then he apologized profusely, and I knew like he was having a bad day because like who wants to be like on the receiving end.
Should have sent the video to me, Dan.
But
how many followers did you gain from that, Dan?
Quite a few, actually. I mean, it was insane. It was like you got to see the absolute worst of the internet. Yeah. And I said to myself, like, how do these guys with these massive followings who get this sort of engagement on every tweet?
It's tough.
How do they get how do they do it? So not a world that I'm looking for.
Don't let Davis guilt you into anything after he deleted Odell tweets and a whole bunch of other
I deleted all my tweets before June of 2022. Mm-hmm. I just deleted like 60,000 tweets.
Try not to get canceled. But as far as Dan goes, I knew he was having a bad day. Here's the deranged sick part of me. I was loving it. I was searching like Dan Bach in the comments. Like, you know, you do the quotation so that you can only get Dan back in there. And some of the comments were just so good.
Do you know what, Dan? I don't know who your boss is, but you should have been fired for not threading that and saying subscribe to rotogrinders.com.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, there should have at least been
like a stern talking to.
Here's my Patreon. Speaking of Davis joined the newsletter ranks. Davis, you want to give your plug for your free once a week possibly newsletter?
Yeah, I was just working on the post before we got on air. I mean, really, it was just as simple as I don't have anywhere to put that stuff. I don't have anywhere. I have no repository. SportsGrid is more geared towards like SEO style content, like recaps, just like to get people to hit there. And so they don't need, long form nerd shit fantasy football articles.
Yeah.
So I started the newsletter, and also obviously inspired by my friends Peter and Patrick doing the same thing.
And you're using the same name that you did when you were a Fantasy Insiders.
Another branch sprouting off your tree, David.
Yeah, you get like 1% of all the Patreon subs.
He gets 1% of zero. So
free thing. So good plug there. Peter, you have any advice for Davis since you've been in the newsletter streets for 2 years now?
Just consistency. Davis, that's the name of the game. People are going to start to make it part of their routine. You got to be ready for them. I can't just have you waking up and then Davis is on like a skateboarding expedition in the Appalachians or something and there's no newsletter. You got to stay consistent.
Well, you remember when Davis started the threads. last NFL season, got John Hansen to subscribe. All of these, you know, all these guys as far as max engagement, and then he just stopped around, you know, week 7 or week 8. And
you blamed on week 13.
He blamed on Holka. That's not really doing anything.
Holka told me it was non-GTO, and he was right.
I don't know if my algorithm. What has Holka been up to? I've not seen.
Yeah,
Holka
that's actually. On the timeline I was just.
Forever. Yeah,
I was
that's just what I'm saying. Holka is just feeding you.
Didn't everybody just mute him then? Isn't that what happened?
No. No, because he switched. He has two accounts now. Holka does. He's got got the CEO account and the football account.
The thing that Holka actually does that's smart that none of us do is he actually takes time off after the in-season grind and like decompresses for like 2 to 3 months while we're just like, let's just start drafting a million best ball teams in February. Mm-hmm. And Holka is actually working on his mental health.
I've thought about it. Maybe next season.
David, you just have too much on your plate. Are you even online? Like how are what are you when you say you need to decompress, what are you decompressing from?
Did you guys see my thumbnail on Twitter?
I did.
Yeah, that was done using AI. That's
did you go the Al route and make a cartoon superhero of yourself or something?
No. It was a picture of you, and the prompt was bald golfer facing other golfers in a state of disbelief.
Man, I think there is was. Just pull something it up, Steve. So, I haven't
seen it either. I'm very curious what this looks like.
There's something just so it's good. So disconcerting, the AI faces, because it's so close, but it's so creepy.
It's kind of has like a Salvador Dali feel with kind of like
blended. Like there's another prompt, not to get too inside baseball here, but there's another prompt called Blend. So I actually had two pictures and I blended them together to
this tweet is from an account you muted that responded to that, I wonder.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
Yeah. I totally see that. It's not, it's just, yeah, the AI art, it's not there yet. They can't do humans yet. The Uncanny Valley has not.
No, they can. They absolutely can.
I've yet to see it in a very convincing way. Okay. Like that Zuckerberg one that was going around yesterday is like still, you can tell it's not quite there.
No, there's different styles. Again, not to get too nerdy into it, but there's these like 5 levels of styles, and you can get like hyper realistic, ultra realistic, and it will give you like legit images that you don't know are fake.
Davis, have you done this yet? Have you put like your face into one of these things and done like an AI version of yourself? Because I feel like you've got just unbelievable features with the hair and the beard that
we need to give you guys a room, Dan. You just keep talking about.
I'm not. I'm not.
I am very much unbelievable into hair. Features. I mean, do you not realize that?
Here's the thing, DB. I'm actually so vain that I don't even think an AI image could do me justice. Like I'm actually to that degree of vanity that I don't even want to see myself reflected in one of these fictional universes because it couldn't match my own imagination effectively.
So pull up the private chat link that I just put in there. So this is like one of the images. That's not a real image right there.
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of Vladimir Putin staring at him. Like you can tell you can
No, but like the bald man's supposed to be Dan and he's supposed to be like overseeing this, and you just basically start massaging these images, like, but they can be like realistic is what I'm saying. They're not just Salvador Dali-esque pictures.
So are you trying to get one of these jobs as like an AI prompt guy? Like your next line of work is going to be like you're going to get hired by a Fortune 500 company to type shit into ChatGPT all day?
Davis, I love my job.
Correct answer.
Good answer, Dave. But 50% chance. 50% chance. The answer is yes to that, Davis.
No,
My deal is this is the same as Dave's fascination with NFTs. Dave and I actually have this in common where we just phase out on stuff so hard for like 3 months and then it's basically
AI stuff is such a bigger deal than NFTs.
Yes.
No. I obviously I agree. But Dave being the prompt king to do bits.
I'm not the prompt king. I'm trying to just keep up with things because I do think this is like the if you don't know how to do AI, you're going to be like left behind. You're going to be an old. You're going to be, as far as like the future of jobs, even within like what my job is, like I have to stay on top of it. And it's moving so fast, like faster than NFTs were. And you remember like having to just stay on top of the NFTs. It was tough. And that's why, like, for that, I had to take a break for my mental health. For this, it's just like, all right, I have to stay on top of it to figure out.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with what you're saying at all. I think,
Dan, what is your, you have to think about things from a very big, you know, bird's eye macro view perspective for running a company. How have you been thinking about AI as it pertains to your line of work?
It probably even goes beyond me. I mean, just to give you an idea, like it's especially in like the content publishing world, like it's not hard to have robots write articles. Like it really isn't.
And Davis could legit write his newsletter with AI.
Yeah. Give it like 6 bullet points and then go. And the stuff that you'll get is absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, I think it's a huge, huge game changer. But, you know, I also feel like there's definitely like a lot of like regulation and people are already getting nervous about it. So, you know, I think there's going to be. Yeah,
I don't like these AI doomers. That's a whole field of guy. There was a think piece published. I don't remember if it was the New York Times or if it was actually Time Magazine, where the guy was like, if you think a country is using AI in a way that is inappropriate or negative for human behavior, you're totally morally justified in nuking them. That was the entire working thesis of his piece. And it was like people are agreeing with him. People are like, yes, this is how dangerous AI is. And it does feel a bit sort of, I grew up reading Isaac Asimov and not really understanding the applications for this technology. So obviously it's all fascinating and it's going to be something we have to reckon with, because the people who are even worse, which is so unfortunate for me because I happen to align politically with a lot of these people, are the people who are like, AI stupid, your ChatGPT is so dumb, you shouldn't use it, these images are dumb. Like these people that, you know, these blue check, these legacy journalists are also very stupid. It's as always, I tend to believe most people that aren't me are pretty dumb. What can you do?
All right. Let's move on to actual NFL takes. You know, people see Dan on the show. They want the NFL takes. But I will say this. I have not met anyone who loves a futures bet as much as Dan Bock does. Loves it. Dan, how often do you look at like futures?
I mean, at least like 3 or 4 times a week. Like,
it's, well, wow. Did you have the Jaguars ticket to win the division last year?
I parlayed it with with any team but Alabama or Georgia to win the college football championship.
What? Why? Why?
I don't know. Good. I'm a fish. It should have hit. Ohio State choked. Ohio State should have beaten Georgia. So, like, I should have had it. But, yeah. So, yeah, I didn't really get paid off on that one. But I love futures. And plug to Scores and Odds. Go there. Find the sport. Click futures. The best futures odds comparison you can find. And if you are into betting, you know, a lot of times, like, minus 115 versus minus 110 isn't a big deal. But you can legitimately find huge discrepancies in these odds that even if you're like a low stakes bettor, bet 10, 20 bucks, it can make a difference. So free plug to that.
How many same game parlays are you firing a day?
Me? I mean, hardly any. Maybe once every 2-3 weeks.
Sad to hear it. That's where that is the most fun that game.
No, see, here's the problem is You're right. Like that is in the most high demand things that is out there. And we built an awesome tool called Parlay IQ, which, you know, basically takes the Sims and you pick a market, and then it basically shows you what the next likely market to hit is going to be from a percentages by parsing the Sims. So we built a tool around this. I just don't love it from my own personal angle, but that's the world we live in. People love to bet a little and win a lot. So you have to tailor content to it. So it's
it's two bullets in the Millie Maker versus one bullet in the $33 single entry.
Or double up. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Dan, as far as like the odds of these futures for quarterback, for number one pick, for all this stuff, do you think that Vegas is getting like the inside info? And they're running with it, or are they just trying to balance their books?
I think
I'm specifically talking about like the CJ Stroud, yeah. Bryce Young stuff, where you're getting, they're just flip flopping. And now Young is like minus 200 a couple weeks ago.
Maybe we already got the good word from our friend Crack Rock that Stroud is going number one.
Yeah, see, this is outrageous. I mean, you can get it now. Stroud to go number one. DraftKings is plus 225. And it was like minus 240 last week. And the thing about this is, you know, these books are getting action from, I think they're moving lines on sharp action, but I don't know how sharp it really is, because as soon as that trade happened, everyone assumed it was going to be Stroud who was going to go number one.
Right.
A few things leaked out about it. And then mysteriously, randomly, out of nowhere last week, Schefter and Mortensen came out and said, Carolina's taking Bryce Young. Like, he's their guy. He's the pick. And I ask you this, if you are Carolina, why would you tell these reporters what you're going to do right now, like 3 weeks before the draft? What advantage do they get by doing that? And I think the advantage is very simple, is they're trying to work a trade with Houston to move down to number two and take Stroud. I think that's what they're trying to do here. And that's why I think Young at number one is a pretty good play, because I think ultimately it's going to work. I think there's a chance that Houston's going to say, we like him that much more than Stroud. Here's a second round pick and a third rounder next year, and get the guy they want. And then you got Carolina sitting there saying, yeah, you know what? Worked. We got the guy we want at one pick lower and got additional picks. So I think the whole thing is just trying to bait the Texans into trading up.
Thank you. Right. I mean, that does make sense in sort of like a draft day fiction scenario. Like I can see it, but it feels like the Texans can't be that stupid, can they? I don't know. Maybe they are.
Davis, have you seen the Derrick Henry to Cowboys rumors floating around?
Yeah, totally.
Bill Barnwell has said that it would make sense.
I can't see Bill. I can't see Bill Barnwell's tweets. He's got me blocked because of Odell stuff from 2013.
Really?
It's true.
Pete, you're pretty big. You're pretty close to Bill Barnwell, right?
Yeah, we get lunch every Tuesday.
Stop with the gifts.
Sosa's like really feeling himself with the production these days.
My favorite is that he is putting on the screen some of the compliments that people are doing, and he's also putting on the screen his reply to those compliments, like thanks. On there, someone said, you're doing a great job. And he replied with thanks and then put on there.
I think Sosa got his feelings hurt when we complimented the new opening from Coakley and people were wondering if it might've been Sosa. And we all quickly said, there's no chance in hell. And
you weren't on here because you were big time.
No, it was Davis's comments pre-show.
Yeah. You were on the pre-show. Davis asked where Devin was. And then when Sosa said, well, that was just for 1 week. You have me now. Davis's comment was, Sosa, you fit the show a lot better, and then follow that up with, because Devin's way too good at his job for this show.
Sosa, it wouldn't be the first time for Fred to quit.
That's borderline like report to HR type stuff, right?
Yeah,
there.
HR. Oh, don't make me go to the compliance meeting, okay. DB.
All right, let's talk about some more of the upcoming draft stuff. Davis, do you have any sort of feel on how this is going to shake out regarding quarterbacks? And like last year was like the fantasy dream for first round day one, right? Like all these fantasy players. This year,
yeah, it's not.
It's just all about the quarterbacks.
I don't think it's going to be we're starting to get prepped for the disappointment with these reports that no one likes Downs or Hyatt as much as fantasy nerds do, which makes sense because they weigh as much as like a teenage child does. They weigh Downs weighs like 171 pounds. That's so small.
Pro teams have millions to spend and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know. I mean, I think the most interesting report of any of this scuttlebutt draft stuff that came out is that Arizona has now entered in the market of trading that number 3 overall pick. Because the way it seemed was that the two guys were going 1 and 2. Arizona would take Will Anderson. Indianapolis would take Levis or Richardson, whichever one they were primed for. And then one of those guys, in my opinion, probably Levis, more likely to be a Kenny Pickett-style faller where he ends up going 20th overall. But if someone's trading up for number 3, that means that's not the case. It means that these guys are going to just go 1 through 4, probably, these quarterbacks. And that is, Kitchen, great engagement farming you did last week. You tweeted, you know, what quarterback class is this most like? And that would have been exactly the Baker Mayfield, Darnold, Josh Allen, Lamar class. And I don't know. I feel like whatever team ends up, like if Anthony Richardson is what people like me think he's going to be, the Panthers and the Texans are just going to feel so gypped. They're going to be like, we just passed on this guy for a cheap imitation.
So you're high on Anthony Richardson.
I think that Richardson probably 70% of the time is going to be like a sub, so like a Ryan Fitzpatrick EPA style guy, but 5% of the time he's Josh Allen or Lamar or something like that. Like I just
probably higher than that, right?
I mean, Lamar did win unanimous MVP, and Josh Allen, I don't believe he's as good as the market does, but the market says he's amazing.
I think like the other thing about the Anthony Richardson conversation is it's not like we have even a Trevor Lawrence level prospect at the top.
That's
where the bust risk for these other guys is high too. So if you're taking on some kind of bust risk, and you can say those other guys have a higher floor than Richardson, that's fine, but there's still bust risk. Might as well take the biggest cut possible, right?
Yeah. I think the bigger, the other problem is like the round 2 and 3 and 4 guys are not very good, in my opinion. I feel like it's so top heavy on the quarterback position.
This Hendon Hooker steam, I've never been more offended by a draft rumor than this Hendon Hooker bullshit.
He's like older than
day,
Davis.
He's
like
a day old. Yeah, he's a day one guy.
Great features like Davis too, though.
He's like 24, Hendon 25. Hooker. Hendon Hooker is older than Lamar. Yeah. And he's got a torn ACL. He can't even play this year. I just like what was it? Daniel Jeremiah put him in a first round mock last week, and like, you know, all due respect to Mr. Move the Sticks, you're grinding the streets a lot harder than I am, but there is no way.
Tannenbaum had him at like four, which
yeah,
like
when he had him at six.
Well, this is a great time of the year for no consequences engagement farming, where you could just be like, Hendon Hooker's the number one quarterback in the class, and no one's gonna remember that. Yep. In a month, you know, when he's pick 87 or whatever. So it's a good time of the year to just let these takes fly, and then you can come back to it in 4 years if you're right. So you got to just disregard these opinions because they are completely unserious.
Like, well, I do want to give you some credit, because like when these odds first fell, I tweeted something out about Quentin Johnston, and you smartly said, oh, I like Smith and Jigba going number one. And I think it was at like plus 350 or something like that, and that seems to be what's steaming up right now.
He's locked in now.
But here's the one thing I don't get on Johnston is he's like the main wide receiver that fits this like big wide receiver profile. Like
he's the only big one.
He's the only big one. So you know, if that's what you feel you need, you should go up and get him, because I honestly think he's really good. I think he's going to be a good pro. I don't know why all of a sudden this is. You know, everybody has like bad thoughts about him. Maybe he didn't interview well. I don't know what it is, but I think he's absolutely legit. I think he should be the first guy off the board, but it's certainly not trending
now. I think it's really the style of play the NFL right now, right? They're dropping safeties.
Did you get that like from my newsletter?
No, I don't think I subscribed to your newsletter yet, but I will. I will. But they're dropping two safeties.
My first post was about why all these guys are so small and why the NFL is not completely disregarding these guys for being 170.
This is why Cooper Kupp, his stock has gone up. Well, you need somebody to.
Cooper Kupp is not small, but the thing with Johnston, to get really into the weeds, the thing with Johnston that analytics people have discovered over the years is that being able to succeed in contested catch situations used to be viewed as like a huge positive, like, you know, Alshon Johnson or Alshon Jeffrey type stuff.
Yeah.
And what NFL teams have realized now is that you don't really want your guy to have to be in those situations all that often. You would prefer him to be open. You know, you don't want your quarterback making these tight window throws all that often. And obviously you have freaks like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase where it's like, yeah, you just put it in their vicinity. And I think we all acknowledge none of these guys are that guy. Like, no wide receiver in this class has that ceiling. So, I don't know.
I don't think he could be. I think he's got a shot. I mean, you see, you know, you keep on saying like these little guys are the ones performing. When I'm looking at it, it's Chase, it's Jefferson, it's Devontae Adams. These are
AJ Brown.
Like, I think that's absolutely incorrect. And I would take the best guy out there. And I think he's going to be really good. I think he is, you know, your profile is a lot like DeAndre Hopkins. Didn't have a good quarterback at all. I mean, Dugan, don't let him kid you. Like, that guy is not a good quarterback.
Hang on real quick here for the people.
Is this your AI thing?
This is, so I know a lot of people don't have time to read Davis's huge screed. So I just pasted it in ChatGPT and asked for a 2-3 sentence description. The 2023 draft class features an unusually small wide receiver group with first round prospects weighing less than 185. Despite concerns about size, the NFL seems to be shifting focus from contested catchability to speed and route running, making smaller players more relevant. Marvin Mims is a potential mold breaker as his performance and athletic profile stand out amongst the smaller wide receivers.
I've been seeing Mims' name.
That really is a pretty freaking good 3-sentence summary of what I wrote.
I've been seeing Mims' name all over the place Twitter.
I lost so much money from him in DFS college football last year.
Yeah. Well,
Davis, where do you go to college at, Davis?
A little place you might know is the University of Oklahoma.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. So my question is going back to the Jalen Hyatt, it seems like if you are out on Hendon Hooker, you would also be out on Jalen Hyatt because of the system that they play. That's like the knock on him.
I'm out on Hyatt because he's a weird prospect. Like Jalin Hyatt is a very so Jalin Hyatt didn't break out at all, and like not even broke out. Did like nothing, and it wasn't until Cedric Tillman like got banged up that he started to show up. And the Alabama game is an all-time mind melter, because on one hand you want to be like, this dude put, what was it, 330 yards and 5 touchdowns against Alabama, and you want to be like, yeah, just like absolutely burning Alabama, seems like he's probably pretty good. But then you look at like what percentage of his total production at his time in Tennessee was from that one game, and it's like 11% of his entire recruit statistics.
But can't you say the same thing for JSN in that bowl game for Ohio State, Utah?
Yes.
It's like JSN didn't even play practically this past year.
Yes, I mean, you absolutely can't. I am the Dynasty Fantasy Football nerds, Pat Crane and other associates, they seem to be not concerned. I am concerned JSN is not a guy you should take in the first round.
Mm. Ooh. Really?
I don't know, man. It's like, it's one, Ohio State is like a weird situation to evaluate wide receivers, and we sort of forget this because their recent crop of guys have been so good.
Wide receiver, you
right, but that there was a long history of their best wide receiver being guys like Devin Smith, first round pick, like literally did, like there were a lot of guys,
but weren't these studs playing behind Jackson Smith and Jigba like last 2 years ago?
Yeah,
like
well, JSN, that what it breaks down to is that JSN got his way onto the field as a true sophomore in 2021 and held his own with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, first round picks who've been very good in the NFL. And then when they were out, there was a concern. Crane did a real deep dive. He went back and like read athletic articles from before that bowl game. And the concern amongst Ohio State fans was like, well, JSN's not going to be able to do anything with these guys out. And then he literally posts like one of the most nuts bowl game, a Rose Bowl. I think he has the Rose Bowl record for receiving yards in a game, actually.
I don't really even know what the knocks are on JSN at this point, other than saying the small sample size, because even the stuff about speed, like his 40 time at his pro day was fine. Crush the agility drills. We've seen guys like, we used to collectively knock guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown and this style of play. And now we know these guys can come in and
that's the difference.
Target.
Is that he probably comes in and immediately is like 8 targets a game for whatever team drafts him.
And I think that's going to be the most interesting thing about his landing spot, right? Is Amon-Ra had a path thanks to injuries, right? Because like Hawk and those guys got injured and then he was the number one. Like, does JSN go somewhere where he has a path to being the number one target?
I bet he's just number one right away.
Yeah.
Houston. Mm-hmm. What,
even
12?
As the number two, he could still just gobble up targets, you know, like with
the
position.
I think he could even go to a spot with like two established wide receivers, say like Keenan and Mike Williams. And I think he could immediately by the end of the season be their highest target earner.
The Chargers are going to take Hyatt or Downs. I have a feeling they like having another vertical field stretcher.
You know, man, you got Jalin Guyton. Mm-hmm. What more could you need?
I think
Jalin Guyton is retired.
I'm going to give you the undersized wide receiver that you should be taking. I don't know where he's going in best ball right now. I dive in after the draft. No, Tank Dell from Houston.
He goes completely undrafted. I had to talk Liam into taking him in the 20th round. Wow. When we did a draft last week.
I'm sure, that was a ripping conversation. What was the selling point, Dan?
The selling point was, what if the Bills draft him? Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was just unguardable last year, and everybody knew he was going to get the ball 12, 14 times a game, and nobody could stop him. Every single game he got there.
Compare him to Wandale. That's the selling point to get Peter in.
Boy. Yeah, no, I think that's actually a pretty good comparison. Like, I actually
think Wandale is way better, but it very similar in terms of like smaller school, was the only real guy they had, didn't get hurt, like held up to like 12 touches a game. And
Wandale went to Nebraska and Kentucky, so like, don't tell me he was like small school.
Those are not serious programs in this decade.
They're like, I mean, he went to Houston. That's a small school. The SEC and the Big 12 is not a small school.
They're, look, when you're a fan of the University of Oklahoma, Nebraska and Kentucky are small schools. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's get to some recent news and notes to round out this NFL conversation. We got 14 minutes. If you have any questions, feel free to drop them off in the chat. Make sure you're liking and subscribing to this video. As you know, we're almost to 5K, and that's right before we get to 10K. It's really just kind of a slow build. I think we're gonna get there this year.
We have the chance, Kitchen. Do you think it's in our range of outcomes that we could go parabolic with our sub growth? Do you think maybe we could have the equivalent of a Dan viral tweet for our YouTube stuff?
I do. It's like a slow build. It's the avalanche model, right? It's the snowball method where it starts small and then it gets.
You know what you guys need is somebody who's got like a real following to come and come on the show one week. Like that's what you need. You need to find somebody. And no offense to Tuttle or Davis. Even Pete, but like
Pete, how dare you grip me with Tuttle Twitter game, Dan? Jesus.
Like Pete, like seriously, why haven't we had Matthew Berry come on the Swolecast?
That's the favorite you want me to call on.
He gives you a retweet. We're at least getting 100 extra subscribers out of that. Like, come on.
I don't know. Okay, so
then,
I don't know.
Then you're saying we need to have Matthew on 50 times to get to our goal.
I mean, whatever it takes.
But. We need to get outside. I love, obviously, TMR. I love Silva. I love these fantasy guys. We got to get outside the fantasy bubble. More like we need to get like Mr. Beast on, you know, someone in the.
You got to be realistic, David. Come on. Like,
well, I'm giving you like someone outside of the bubble, the fantasy bubble, that might want to come on and, you know, we can get to the untapped people out there. All right. Getting to the news and notes, though. We have today Saquon Barkley. Are you guys saying that he's not going to sign whatever the tender was? Davis,
what's he going to do? Hold out? Yeah. He's got no bargaining power.
Okay, so you're not worried about that at all.
Same, I'm not worried about Eckler either. These guys have no option.
You think Eckler goes back to San Diego?
Or he said, and I quote, "Worst case scenario, I play for the Chargers." And unfortunately, choosing to play running back professionally is sort of. I mean, you get to make a couple million dollars, but you're not going to make as much money if you played literally any other position.
Okay. Yeah, Elon. Graham says Elon or Jake Paul. Elon on the show, honestly, would be just massive.
Yeah, we could censor free speech from dissidents in India. It'd be a good time.
I honestly think that'd probably be a bad episode of the Swolecast. Like there's venues to talk to Elon on the Swolecast.
Listen, it's not about the content itself.
It's just about the reach subscribers.
You're the creative one. Come up with like a realistic.
I got one. I was just going to float one. You now have all these new friends in high places after your viral tweet. Hit up Big Cat from Barstool. Davis famously loves the Barstool guys.
What about
get Big Cat on here? That would do huge numbers. That Venn diagram of an audience would like this show. Come on.
What about Joey Molinario? No, what about Joey Molinario, the impressions Molinaro. Guy?
I was going to let already... it go, but catch it.
Molinario.
I think we could get him on. I'm Twitter friends with him.
Yeah, he's funny, and he. Well, how many followers does he have? 500,000.
What about
he likes? He likes fantasy football. I get his shit. I get his shit in my Instagram algorithm.
Okay, all right. Let's move on to Odell. Signs with the Ravens.
Are we talking about old guys who have lost their mobility here?
Yeah,
we're
talking about the Ravens wide receiver six. Yeah, I'm down.
Like they're paying him $15 million a year. There's no way
he's going to be Baltimore Ravens. You know, everyone loves to fall all over themselves and say how smart their front office is. And their 26-year-old MVP quarterback is technically a free agent. And they sign Odell Beckham to a $15 million guaranteed contract. Just genius level negotiation.
Who would give me where plus would odds you... on Devin Duvernay outscoring Odell Beckham?
Not me. Not me.
Where would Odell have to drop for you to draft him?
Late round pick to
where does Marcus Valdez Scantling go?
Even if like you drafted Lamar early, you would not try to pair him with Odell.
I got a market for you. You can bet this on DraftKings. Over under on yardage.
Under 650.
575 is the number.
That's a good line. 575.
Whale play on the
line.
Under, Davis.
Yeah.
Whale play
no, on the under. No, 575, 17 games. You figure he probably plays in 11 of them. It's a pretty good line.
This Odell ain't taking slants to the house anymore. This is like
no down
specialties.
They paid $15 million for a guy with a 575 receiving yard total this year.
What like, they're doing just to get
I mean Odell
just to
Odell,
get Lamar.
Odell would have stepped into a starting role on the Dallas Cowboys last year. They would have brought him into the building and they would have played him immediately. And I think they brought him into the facility and they were like, I think what happened is Stephen Jones and Mike McCarthy were like, Jerry, please do not do this to us. He can't move. We can't.
What do you think the touchdown total is?
4.5.
I was going to say 3.5.
4, right in between. Okay.
That feels like an under. That feels like an under.
See, and I'm actually the opposite, Davis. I think if he gets there or like has any kind of stuff, it's going to be because he has like a 2-touchdown game, you know, in the red zone, because that's how the Rams were kind of using him as a red zone threat deep into their Super Bowl run.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I liked Odell. I liked that move by the Rams at the time. And I remember betting on him for like Super Bowl MVP and stuff, but not playing at all last year and the Bills or one of these teams not bringing him in is just a bit like the Cowboys being the only team interested in him and then them not signing him when they were starting Noah Brown. It's not good.
So Lamar then signs with the Ravens for sure now.
Well, they were at the club together.
What if he doesn't?
They'll sign the contract.
Yeah, I know.
Odell's dad making a cut up of all the times Tyler Huntley didn't throw to him. Pretty good. I mean, Lamar's just vibing, dude. He like clearly is not getting any advice. He's not like Lamar is not talking to his lawyers. He's just like living his life. You know, I don't. He might just not play.
Yeah, and I don't think Odell will care. He just wanted to get paid, and he got paid a lot of money.
Dan is right.
And at the end of the day, it's like, who cares? Just give me my paycheck.
He's going to – and he might even be – like, he and Lamar might even be conspiring. And Lamar just being like, peace, as far as – I still think a trade could happen around the draft, like after the draft, where they don't have to give up this year's – as a team that needs a pick this year, especially
– yeah. I think that's a legit chance too.
Yeah. Dan, what do you think the odds are we do get like a bombshell NFL draft trade? Like there's been some rumors lately about Derrick Henry potentially being on the move. Do you think, what do you think the odds we get something like that with Lamar, any other one of those marquee names?
Yeah, I think it's pretty high. I mean, it's not uncommon anymore to have big name players be traded. I mean, AJ Brown a couple of years ago, nobody really saw that coming. And totally out of left field. And sorry, Dave. I think it's pretty likely. I mean, there's so many trades. That's why like mock drafting is just kind of dumb in the sense of you can't predict what this is going to even look like in terms of this draft order. It's going to be flipped
on
its head many times.
Winning 150-1 same game parlay is good, but if you ever had everyone openly mock you doing Daniel Jones to the New York Giants in a mock draft and then them taking Daniel Jones, that was it's one of my favorite moments in mock drafting.
Are you going to do a mock draft this year, Davis?
For sure. Yeah. I love it.
Is that going to be your newsletter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hang on. But can I ask you a question, Dave? Like, to me, I would even maybe have fun doing an offensive skill position mock draft. Like, just be completely honest. Are you remotely qualified to assign defensive players to various teams?
No chance. No, it's all reading the betting markets and exploiting the mocks. It's nothing about my ability to be like Will Anderson, really, you know, the way his hand technique to be. What do I know? No, absolutely nothing. I'm not even qualified to break down these wide receivers that way. You know? I'm really not.
Subscribe to Automatic Absolutes for more in-depth wide receiver research.
Qualified for this show, Davis. Yeah. Not saying much.
By the way, I realized the reason why Tuttle bowed out today is that UCL lineups came out right now and he just didn't want to be bothered. He just didn't want to be on the show when soccer lineups came out.
Tuttle, I don't know if y'all saw, I think Tuttle won $30,000 in baseball last week.
Yeah,
or the week
he's
before.
Vibing.
Huddle is on a hot streak. Yes,
on a heater. So, and fired hard at the Masters last week. He's back in it. So as far mock GPT, that's good. all right, final thing, Davis. The hype around Justin Ross with the Chiefs. Are you buying this?
I do get this. Sam Sherman mentioned him to me on ADP Chasing last week. Like, he's never going to play a down for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sorry. It's not happening.
Okay. So you're out then.
You didn't see that slow-mo catch that he had?
The thing is Justin Ross's last good season was in 2018. Check your calendars. That was a long time ago. And I don't think it's particularly encouraging. The Chiefs got him in the building and then immediately placed him on season-ending IR last year. And maybe they were just redshirting him, right? Letting him rehab, letting him be around NFL trainers, get an NFL diet and all that stuff. And maybe I'll end up being wrong. But I think the fact that they keep signing, like John Ross is on a futures reserve contract. They signed another guy who's like sort of notable. I got to look this up or it's going to drive me crazy.
But who's training with him, Davis?
Oh, Patsy, baby.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so they got other guys on future contract. Amir Smith-Marset, he was a Bear and a Viking. Cornell Powell still on the team. I mean, Cornell Powell has just as much of a chance to catch a touchdown for Patrick Mahomes as Justin Ross does.
Okay.
Cornell Powell, right. Another Clemson.
I think
receiver.
This is Davis's, if you read between the lines, if Davis, the quiet part that he refuses to say out loud is that Sky Moore is the answer in the Chiefs wide receiver.
You're not catching me on these airwaves saying that. Rudman, I had Rudman on the show yesterday and he was telling me like, I'm not going to let people make Sky Moore a thing. And I was like, it's too late, dude.
Who are you in on then on the Chiefs?
Valdez Scantling and Tony.
Okay.
Did they get Richie James too? Did I see that?
Yeah, I'm waiting to see. Like, I've done this experiment before. Like, Richie James could very easily not make the team. So I'm trying to keep my excitement to a minimum there. The thing is Patrick
big
Mahomes,
in the playoffs. Big in the playoffs for the Giants.
Don't do this to me. I'm close to sending a rookie third round pick for Richie James in any league I don't have him in right now. But Mahomes just won the MVP and the Super Bowl with 50 touchdowns, leading the league in every statistical passing category, throwing to a bunch of jamokes, you know? So it's like, I don't think it is required for any of these guys to be a sixth round pick in fantasy for the Chiefs to win.
All right. I saw some of the hype floating around there on Twitter. And I thought you might be in on it. So a little bit surprised that
we haven't mentioned the Titans quarterback search at all here. I mean, where are your emotions?
Up.
Yeah, where are your emotions at these days? What's DB's insight actually?
They're trading up 100%. Like,
if they get Will Levis, I will be disappointed. Like, I will legit be disappointed.
I think it's Richardson. I think it's Anthony Richardson.
If it's Richardson,
that'll be so fun.
It will be fun, but it will be a little bit disappointing for us all to be united on the Titans on the show.
I know.
Like, it's actually like for us to get to the weekly DraftKings segment, and David's like, you know, Richardson's only 5,700 against the Colts, and Pete and I are like, absolutely. Who can we stack? Let's do it.
People are saying that the Colts are going to try to get him
Colts feel like Levis to me all the way. Like, doesn't it just feel that's who Jim Irsay wants?
Well, who's the Colts head coach?
Right. Shane Steichen.
The guy from Philly, who worked with Jalen Hurts. So that's why they're mentioning AR. So, all right. As far as closing thoughts, Davis,
really need the draft to get here so I can start hammering out Best Ball Mania 4. I was on a mental health break from drafting and I'm already starting to get bored of baseball, so we gotta do it.
Okay. Peter,
I just want to say thanks to Dan for coming on the show, and also disclaimer, if you said something that you regret on here, we actually aren't going to delete this show, let me do your tweet.
All All right. And Dan can be found on Twitter, like, you, I mean, everyone already knows, at Dan underscore Bach. And that is spelled B-A-C-K. Dan, anything you want to plug since you're on this show?
Just, you know, I know everybody loves the sports betting world, so check us out, scoresandodds.com. We've done, and kudos to you, Kitchen. You've been a big part of it, like revamped that site and that app. And you have no idea, Davis, no snark in this one. He admittedly has been important in this. So check that out.
Yeah, that's not what we do here.
Yeah.
You're ruining the narrative of the show. But appreciate that from my boss, my leader, the guy who I just look up to every day, and most importantly, probably my pickleball partner. So on behalf of Dan, Pete, Davis, and myself, special thanks to Sosa for bringing the hot gifts into the chat, and everybody watching, listening, liking, subscribing on the road to 10K. We'll see you in 2 weeks, right before the draft. It's the special draft show. Maybe we can get on, you know, someone who has done some draft content for us in the past, who can really break down some of these third, fourth round offensive linemen. Patrick Corain. He was he won the $2 million.
We'll see if noted offensive line scout Pat Corain is.
I love it how Dave's like, we need to get out of our bubble, and then he immediately goes right back to you.
Well, no, this is tradition. This is tradition. Having Patrick on to discuss draft prospects, and then ask him about random. One guy I asked him about was like Cole Strange, because the name, and like he ended up being like a really good player for the Patriots last year. But you know, this is something that we do, just random obscure guys that only Patrick can tell us about. So, all right, that will do it for the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time here on the Swolecast on rotogrinders.com. Peace.